Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
For local news, events, and the people that affect you, listen to the Jim Durante Hour on WRMN 1410, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Jim Durante is a local real estate professional who knows his business. The Jim Durante Hour will not only help you better understand the sometimes complex world of real estate, but local issues and events that affect you. The Jim Durante Hour is filled with interviews, news, and important information affecting your life. Tune in Thursdays at 9 o'clock for the Jim Durante Hour right here on WRMN AM 1410.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. How are you today?
Doing fine.
Good.
A little tired. Too much air. Too much fresh air let yesterday, I guess.
Spent
the Mother's
air.
Day at the track, Arlington Park.
That's always a standby for a lot of people. That you'd be surprised. Was it packed?
It was packed. Well, it wasn't packed right away.
The
first two races... It wasn't packed at all. By the fourth race, you couldn't get through the aisles. It was so packed. So I got a feeling it was such a beautiful day that a lot of people at the last minute said, yeah, let's celebrate Mother's Day at the track.
Okay. Now that's what a lot of people do. That's a very opening day, is it not?
No, it wasn't opening day because I know during the Derby it was open.
Okay.
So
I think they have to by law switch with Maywood for opening day. Because they don't want to compete. There's some sort of law that was Maywood gets it this year, and then Arlington gets it the year after that.
Maybe.
I'm not positive.
Maybe. I didn't even know Maywood Park was still at it.
I believe it's still at it. Don't quote me on that.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. I don't know. I'm not much of a ponies guy, but it was fun. It was fun. I decided not to look at any of the sheets this time, and I went down to the paddock before every race and just watched the horses and their eyes and their activity and see if they were intent to win or not.
Yeah, right. See the eye of the tiger and the horse. That's the one I want.
So, and the ones that aren't distracted that are looking back at the other horses and stuff. Anyway, I ended up breaking even. So that's not bad.
No, that's great. That's a great day.
Had fun, broke even.
Yeah, that's
one,
great.
I think, every race I took two horses to win in place.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
That's it.
And I got two wins and, about three or four places, I think.
Good.
So it was
no trifecta, no perfecta, no
didn't do
doubles.
Any of that stuff.
I hear you.
I just didn't want to fool that. I want to make it simple.
Sure.
And the one that won was 10-1. So that was a nice victory. And he had his nose to the grindstone. He was looking down and just trotting around that paddock, and I just knew he was going to win.
Were you cheering loudly when he was coming?
Yeah,
around,
when he was coming. Yeah, because we were right at the. At the finish line, too.
Nice.
So that was
good seats, huh?
Yeah.
good. Beautiful day.
It was fun. Beautiful day to be out there. So, okay. A lot of stuff happening out there. Including the Republican nomination for president, which is not over, folks. And it becomes, to me, increasingly apparent it's not over. I mean, unless, again, the Romney folks may just try to just totally steal this thing. But what's happening at all these state conventions is just incredible. Ron Paul delegates are outnumbering the rest, Romney and whatever. Well, the others are out anyway, so let's just say he's outnumbering the Romney delegates. In virtually every state convention that I've heard of, whether it's out east in Massachusetts or Midwest in Iowa or South-southwest Oklahoma this weekend, and Arizona. Now, Oklahoma, they try to pull the same BS, the same shenanigans they pulled in Missouri, and Georgia, where they just try to voice vote for a slate of candidates that were Romney candidates with no opposition. But the nays were way louder, and they would not call for division. And it created such chaos. There were some fisticuffs on the convention floor.
Yep,
police
yep.
were called in, and the convention closed down. So the Ron Paul people continued the convention out in the parking lot and elected their own delegates. So it appears that come to Tampa in August at the national convention, there's going to be two separate delegations from Oklahoma, and then the convention's going to have to decide which one to seat, if any.
Wow. They're going to call foul and not take either or.
Unless Romney and Ron Paul come up with some kind of, solution by themselves. Mm-hmm. It's getting real nasty. It got nasty in Arizona, too. And again, in Arizona, Ron Paul ended up with the majority of the delegates. Even though it's unclear right now if officially he's gotten the majority. But the people who show up at the convention are all majority Ron Paul people. This is a news. This is real news that's hardly being published in any of the establishment press venues. This is huge news, folks. Think about this. The Ron Paul people, the heart and core of the Republican Party, as far as the activists are concerned, it's Ron Paul. You can't stop this kind of movement that started. It's impossible to stop. Even if somebody, Ron Paul, tried to stop it, he couldn't stop it. It's a philosophy and a movement whose time has come. And whether or not Ron Paul is actually nominated for president, it hardly even matters. I mean, Ron Paul is getting state chairs elected throughout the states. They're taking control of the Republican Party. And you have to ask yourself, if Romney has this sewn up, if he has the election sewn up, why are they using all these tactics at the state conventions to stop Ron Paul?
Mm-hmm.
It's not sewn up, folks. It's not by any stretch of the imagination.
If it was, they would just let it go.
And they just found, the Ron Paul people found out this quote from I think I mentioned this last week, from an RNC lawyer back in 2008. It was Dr. Nancy Lord, who was actually the LP presidential candidate, vice presidential candidate, in 1992 with Andre Mourou as the presidential candidate. I served on the national committee with her, actually. She was a Utah Republican committee person, and she posed a question. It's a really smart lady. She's actually both a medical doctor and a juris doctor, JD.
Mm-hmm.
She posed the question whether or not the delegates are bound by any of the state or county rules, such as, you know, if some candidate wins the beauty contest, must you vote for them in the convention? And the RNC lawyer at that time in 2008 said, no, you are unbound, supporting what Rule 38 is in the bylaws of the Republican Party, that no candidate is bound by state or county rules and can basically vote their conscience. So if Ron Paul comes with a majority of delegates to this national convention, he could win. Now, I'm not saying right now that's going to happen, but it sounds like to me that's an actual possibility. And the establishment doesn't want you to believe that it could be actually a possibility. And, you know, this has been growing, this movement, this building of power amongst the local and state parties. And I've been watching it with a little bit of trepidation, as, you know, how much of this is blown over, you know, hyped up hoopla by Republicans, by Ron Paul supporters who just don't want to acknowledge the truth. But the more I see this, this insurgence is real. And it's gonna take absolute cheating and thuggery to keep the Ron Paul people out. And even that, I don't think, doesn't seem like that's gonna absolutely work. In other news, well, let's see. Let's go to this one first as the outrageous regulation of the week. The TSA detained a six-month-old baby from flying because she was on the no-fly list, terror list, a six-month-old baby on JetBlue? Is that the name of it? I forget.
Doesn't Maybe really same matter. Name, different person?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a confusion of the name.
So how could a six-month-old baby be on the no-fly list?
The parents happen to be practicing
Muslims.
Yes,
that's
and
all.
She
it
was
takes?
Wearing the hijab or whatever it is.
I don't know what the turban.
The thing on the head.
I don't know what that's called.
I think
called.
It's hijab or something like that.
That's okay.
You've
been trying for 3 years to get on that list, and all you have to do is change religion. That's all you have to do. Who knew it was that easy?
That's not the way I want to do it, Mike.
Well,
that's funny.
A 6 month is now on the list that you've been trying to get on. Really? 6 months old on the list?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't make
the parents are suing.
Well, yeah, they should. Sure, they're going to win that one, too.
Oh, boy.
And if they are terrorists, now we're supporting terrorists.
Okay,
by doing that.
And elsewhere in America, and by the way, anytime, okay, when you hear me verbally speak America, visualize it in your mind that I'm saying America with a K. Because every time I write it now, it's America with a K. Because we are in a police state, folks, and it's verging on totalitarian police state. And just another example, maybe you don't think this is much, but I think it's very indicative. Fort Lee, New Jersey, police will start to issue tickets for pedestrians who are caught texting while walking.
Oh, no.
Texting while walking. It's a big quote. It's a big distraction. Pedestrians aren't watching where they are going, and they are not aware, unquote, said Thomas Ripley, chief of the Fort Lee Police Department. Ripley said the borough, which is home to approximately 35,000 residents, has suffered three fatal pedestrian-involved accidents this year. His hope is crackdown on people who display dangerous behavior while walking. We'll make his town safer, but not everyone is on board. No? With this idea of issuing $85 tickets. And other news that you will not hear in the mainstream press. George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Dom Rumsfeld, Alberto Gonzalez, David Addington, William Hayes, John J. Beebe, and John Yoo were all tried and convicted in absentia in Malaysia for war crimes. The trial held in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, heard harrowing witness accounts from victims of torture who suffered at the hands of U.S. soldiers and contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan. They included testimony from British man Muazzam Beg, an ex-Guantanamo detainee, Iraqi woman Jamalaya Abbas Hamamidi, who was tortured in the notorious Abu Ghraib prison. At the end of the week-long hearing, five-panel tribunal unanimously delivered guilty verdicts against Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and their key legal advisors for torture and cruel, inhumane, and degrading treatment. The Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Commission is also asking that the names of Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and those others be entered and included in the commission's register of war criminals for public record. And they are going to send it to the United Nations for further involvement. According to war crimes expert and lawyer who helped prosecute, Francis Boyle, professor of international law at the University of Illinois College of Law in America, this is the first conviction of those people anywhere in the world. If my recollection is correct, we had Francis Boyle on the program. Do you kind of recall that?
I do recall that.
So that's interesting. He's not just a armchair intellectual espousing his views. He's actually out there doing something about it. So my hat is off to Francis Boyle, because I do indeed think those people are guilty of war crimes. No question in my mind. And they say they're not through. Let's see here. Asked about Obama. And, well, I can't find the exact quote, but basically what they said, they referred to the illegal bombings of the drones in Pakistan. And that they're going to go after Obama, too. Now, they don't have any. Obviously, the court in Malaysia doesn't have any arresting authority, I don't think, as far as it's concerned. But it's symbolically, I think, is a great first start. And if it gets actually to the UN International Court system, who knows? Maybe we'll see some justice. I'm not supposed to say that as an American, but that's an American with a C, folks, that I'm saying. As American, when I look at America with a K, it seems to me all patriotic Americans who believe in America with a C, but see America as America with a K, would want to see true justice done to the war criminals in our country that are responsible for, well, countless deaths. Which reminds me of, this is not a partisan thing, of course. Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State under Clinton, when asked about the possibly half a million women and children killed in Iraq from the sanctions imposed, said that that they thought that was an acceptable amount of people, considering what their goal was, to kill 500,000 people, just to impose sanctions. Hmm. That's the attitude that the leaders of America with a K have, and it should be punished.
Acceptable, she says.
Acceptable. That's an exact quote, acceptable. I can't remember the exact words, but acceptable was one of the words. So, I think that's probably enough little fodder for chatter.
Yep, enough to work on anyway.
Absolutely. So, anybody want to comment on that or anything else involving politics, law, economics, or philosophy is truly welcome. Give us a call at 847-931-1410. We do have an open line, 931-1410. Give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
Watch the police and the tax man miss me.
Yeah. All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We have an open line, folks. If you want to talk, you can get right on. I know, Jeff, you called earlier. Why don't you call back, buddy? We'll get you right on. 847-931-1410. One more thing to throw out to you locally, I understand. I don't know if I have the hard facts to prove. I've heard that Elgin High School is not going to graduate 25% of its seniors this year.
What's going to go on?
Elgin High School, what I had heard, I haven't really verified this yet, Evidently, last year was 20 or 21%. But Elgin High School is not going to graduate 25% of its seniors.
They're not going to graduate because they're not academically ready to be graduate? You know?
That's the impression I had. Yeah.
Hmm.
Unless they're talking about dropouts, too. I don't know. I don't think so.
Hmm.
I guess there's maybe good and bad signs of that. Maybe they're actually just not promoting, you know, just for the sake of promoting. That maybe they're holding students accountable for or not. Who knows? But because I think in the past maybe people have graduated even if they haven't really.
Well, that's a pretty high percentage. That's if you ask me.
That's a high percentage of not graduating. A
couple hundred people.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot. If that's true. That's amazing a lot. You know, I think when I went to school, it was probably less than 5%.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's such a small number, you didn't really hear about it or read about it.
847-931-1410. Dead day, huh?
Wide open phone lines. Maybe it's too nice outside. People
too nice.
Out there
maybe so. Maybe
setting
so.
Setting up their pickets or something.
Let's see. What else did I come across? Another interest. This is not libertarian related, but really interesting. I'm just coming to the conclusion that, and maybe a lot of people would disagree with this, that if something as the concept of a soul exists, I think humans aren't the only ones with it.
Really?
And maybe all mammals do. There's a really interesting story out in Africa. What do they call it? He called himself, I guess, he wrote a book on it called The Elephant Whisperer. Has recently died. Now, The Elephant Whisperer, he was a man that, like, he saved, like, there was elephants that were in some preserves that were, like, ornery elephants. The elephants didn't deal with people too well or whatever, and he brought him into his preserve and was able to work with them and make them tame and likable or whatever. He had a way with elephants that calmed the ones with the worst personalities or whatever. And over happened, I think, just over the last week. He died, and two herds of elephants that were 12 hours away in some other area of this would be like Zululand or something like that. Nobody knows how the elephants found this out, that the Elephant Whisperer died, but they traveled 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
One herd and then another herd showed up 24 hours later to his residence and just stood there like in funereal procession.
Sure.
And were there for 2 days and then left.
Paying their respects. Along that same sort of story, they heard on Discovery Channel, I think it's the Ice Planet, the new documentary, they've tagged an elephant whale. And this elephant whale had died in the middle of the ocean, although it kept moving. And they knew it to be dead, but they knew it was kept moving. It was being pushed by a group of whales, and it got pushed to a certain location where it was allowed to fall. They sent a underwater submarine or a video, and it's a whale graveyard. And this is where they put all of their... I mean, you never see dead whales. You don't see dead whales too often, Lance.
Wow.
Huge animals.
Wow.
There's a huge graveyard in the middle of the ocean.
Well,
where
there you go.
They're burying them, and it's a graveyard. So there you go, another mammal.
You know, I mean, why would it be different for different mammals? But you know, you think of dogs and what they've done, whales and dolphins,
yeah,
and elephants, and they seem to be pretty high in the consciousness.
Well, they know what's going on.
Level.
They know what's a respectful thing to do, and they know what to do when your life is done. Take them to this spot because that's where we all go.
Wow.
Now, they're saying most.
Go ahead.
Most of the whales try their best during their lifetime to go, because they kind of feel like they're getting sick or dying.
Yeah.
They go there to die.
Right.
And they die and they just float to the bottom. But if you die outside that realm.
The movie Little Big Man. Today is a good day to die.
If you die outside the realm, you get help by your friends. They push you to your gravesite.
It's pretty incredible. And don't ask me, folks, to justify eating meat. along with my theory of animals having souls, because I can't back it up.
All right.
I plead guilty right from the beginning.
I do too.
All right, let's go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good morning, there, Kenneth. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, I like that your monologue, whatever you want to call it. First thing this morning, you will open it up, and you're talking about Ron Paul. You know, I get this thing about Ron Paul. I mean, he makes a lot of sense, but people don't want the severity of what he's talking about. That's the problem.
They don't want to recognize the truth of what's really happening.
Exactly. I mean, we always talk about on the station, you know, Therese brings a lot of it up because I think she's probably the most pro-supporter of Ron Paul than anybody's on here. And, you know, me personally, I'm, you know, right now, I almost don't feel like voting because it's almost like a waste of time. Because, honestly, it seems like, and this is my analogy of the whole process, I think most of these candidates are bought and paid for. I don't think, honestly, that who you vote for nowadays anymore really makes any difference.
Well, you know, let me interject just for a second, Jeff. For me, I see what you're saying, but for me, it's just a personal statement to myself. You know, if nobody else, to myself, that, you know, I'm gonna support who I believe is the right person. And it doesn't matter. I'll probably end up writing in Ron Paul if he doesn't get the Republican nomination. Because I can't vote for the Libertarian candidate. The Libertarian candidate, and we had him on the air here, and we had the smoking gun, and read it to him, that he basically said that he wouldn't rule out assassinating American citizens without total due process of constitutional law. I don't see how anybody with a conscience can support somebody who supports assassinating American citizens. So I can't see how anybody could support Obama because he's done it. And I can't see supporting Gary Johnson because he said he would do it. And by implication, Romney has said he would do it. Paul will not pander to that.
Romney is bought and paid for by the Republican Party. And unfortunately, it's exactly like what you were talking about earlier. It isn't what America wants. There's a big division in the Republican Party, and it's just like here in Illinois. This whole state, the Republican Party doesn't even exist as far as I'm concerned, because I've worked with a couple of people that were Republicans. One is no longer a Republican. He's no longer a state senator. And it was a joke. It was like, you know, okay, because we're outnumbered, we're just going to go ahead and go with the flow.
I'm trying to think of a good analogy of what I think the Republican Party has become, and some might still call it an onion. You peel the layers, and there's nothing back, and there's nothing there. You just keep on peeling layer after layer, and it's empty suit. The Republican Party is just a shadow. It's just a remnant. It's an establishment remnant. There's nothing there. There's no activism there, except Ron Paul people have filled that void. And
all I can say is that Ron Paul's party, if they really want to get a push and want to take over, is they're going to have to get a lot of people behind them and just keep supporting the daylights out of them. Because, I mean, when it comes to this convention, they have to outnumber the other side. You know, Romney's people are being bought and paid for with a lot of money, a lot more than probably Ron Paul will ever get.
Well, they don't even have many people. That's the point.
Well, the other thing is, how is he going to defeat, you know, the Gestapo-like tactic, you know, president we have now? Because, honestly, I don't think anybody, I don't think whether it's Ron Paul or Romney, can beat this guy. He's getting money from China. He's bought and paid for from other countries. And there ain't nobody that's going to be able to beat him because of it.
I don't think money's everything in campaigns. I really don't.
I don't know. Maybe I'm
naive. But I think, and there are other candidacies that have proven otherwise, that if you get a real man with principle in there, he can win without having, you know, Ron Paul may be able to raise one-tenth of the money that Obama will raise.
Well, the only thing
that might be enough, I'm just saying.
I don't know. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Oh.
Bye.
Oh, okay. That was abrupt, but that's right. Okay. Well, open line, folks, 847-931-1410. I had an interesting conversation with my music director's wife at our annual fundraiser at the Elgin Country Club for the Elgin Choral Union. And Andy and his wife, Kirsten, they're very interesting people and intellectuals. I mean, they, in the best sense of the term, they really check things out. They read a lot. They have well-backed opinions. But I had a little disagreement with Kirsten because she's kind of, I think she was, from my viewpoint, making excuses for Obama. But she was saying it in a generalized term that when you're in a position of power as a leader, you have to compromise. You have to say things that you don't believe in order to represent all the people. And that it's harsh. That was her exact words. It was harsh to judge a leader on terms of adhering to principle. And I just fundamentally disagree. I understand what she's saying, and maybe I understand that's the mode of operation of most leaders, so-called leaders. But I think there are exceptions throughout history that disprove that rule. Or at least, I mean, you know, some might say proves the rule by the exception. But I think of Gandhi, always adhered to principle, and he was able to lead a nation to overthrow the existing government of Great Britain in India. I think of, although I think he had some flaws, George Washington. The country, overwhelming majority of the country, wanted to coronate him, wanted to make him a king. Yet he refused. He stood on principle. And I think there are times in history, you know, when times are well, yeah, then there's maybe that get along, go along philosophy that works, so-called works. But I think in times of distress and times of crisis, I think people are begging for a leader who stands up for principle regardless. And she said it, and she said it in a respectful way, although she has a lot of respect for Ron Paul, he'll never get elected because he doesn't pander. She basically said, you have to pander in order to get elected. And I said, I refuse to vote for panderers, whether it's Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, or Obama, the Democratic candidate, or if Romney is the Republican candidate. All right, let's go to the phones. And we have Pete. Hey, Pete.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've been talking about the impact of the Ron Paul supporters on the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
and whether or not they're going to vote at the convention as they're obligated to vote in certain states. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, obligated from the state and local rules, and evidently not obligated from the national rules.
Okay, so there may be challenges then to in certain states. As to that, there'll be one slate of Romney supporters, and there'll be
that's actually a different issue. That's an issue of what kind of vote frauding went on at these state conventions.
At the convention, but aren't there some states where, at least on the first ballot, I guess the example is Arizona or someplace like that, where because Romney
Nevada,
some state where the winner take all.
Right.
The winner take all
states. Oh, winner take all states. No, that's not a bad. Maybe it is Arizona. Yes, but those are state and local rules.
Okay.
And Rule 38 in the Republican bylaws, the National Republican bylaws, states that no state or local rules can bind a delegate, national delegate. And as recently as 2008, a Republican National Committee attorney had upheld Rule 38 that delegates are not bound. So there's a question there.
But is that a credentials issue or is that a rules issue? You understand what I'm saying?
I'm not sure if I understand your distinction.
Well,
it's from what I understand, Rule 38 is part of the bylaws.
Okay.
And as far as credentials, I think that pertains more to which delegation will be accepted by the body. That might be a credential question. But the Rule 38, Rule 38 is a bylaw rule question. Right. And, of course, the question is, who's going to be at the convention to rule on that rule? I'll suggest this, Pete. What do you think? I think if the Ron Paul people get turned away, you may see a complete exodus of the Ron Paul people, and that convention could be very sparse. And that would be a huge embarrassment. That's something that Romney does not want to happen.
Well, wouldn't it be more beneficial for the Ron Paul supporters to stay in the convention and have an impact on the platform and potentially on the vice presidential nominee?
By
the rules, they can vote for anybody that they want to for vice president.
At the very least, they want to do that. Yes, but what happens if there is a full onslaught on the Ron Paul delegates and through shenanigans in the credentials committee, they disallow, the vast majority of the Ron Paul delegates. What do they do then?
Yeah.
So they don't have much power. Then I think what you might see is a boycott. It's just a walkout. I haven't heard anything in the press that makes me think that. This is just my own opinion or my own belief of human nature and those who stand on principle, what they would do. And I think if there's a widespread misuse of the rules to negate Ron Paul's, correct power in the Republican Party, I think you may see a walkout.
Is the Ron Paul movement, isn't it a coalition in many respects between younger people who are concerned with some social issues and with and foreign policy and national security issues and other groups which are the old survivalist mentality, people who are concerned about the abolition of the Federal Reserve Board and stockpiling food and ammunition in their basement.
I understand.
And that there might be a split between these two groups.
I think you've bought into the fallacy that the establishment press has tried to portray the Ron Paul candidates.
Because
I'll tell you, I've been to Ron Paul rallies, and the young people are just as concerned about the Fed as anything else. And the most favorite chanting phrase you'll hear at a Ron Paul rally is end the Fed. It's not stop the war. You'll hear that too. But end the Fed seems to be the rallying cry of all who are Ron Paul supporters. I think the young people get it. I mean, sure, there's going to be a few on the margin who are just concerned about smoking pot or maybe foreign policy.
Right.
But I think it's a mistake for political observers to buy into the straw man of that the young people are just concerned about these few things. I don't think that's true. I think they're reading books and they're truly inspired by Ron Paul's views on the economy and on the Fed. And Ron Paul tells them straight out about that, we shouldn't have the student loan program and you students should not be subsidized by the American taxpayer. He doesn't pander to anybody. And I think they love the honesty. So I think for the most part it is young people and older people. The middle age, I think, are too busy trying to earn a living and make it in America, so to speak. So it's more of a young and old people coalition. Older, I guess I'm an old person.
I understand what you're saying. So am I in that sense. Are there parallels to the Goldwater movement of the early 1960s?
Yeah. Now, I was not that politically aware during the Barry Goldwater campaign. I know a substantial amount of people who supported Barry Goldwater and ended up being activists in the Libertarian Party. My sense is that this is even stronger, a stronger movement than the Barry Goldwater movement. And I really do think the paradigm shift is occurring. People are starting to see things in different perspectives than a linear left-right spectrum. They're starting to understand that freedom is indivisible and that economic freedom and personal freedom are really both sides of that same one side of the coin of liberty, which is, you know, totally contrary to the divide and conquer framework of the political system of just left-right, that the left believes in personal liberty, supposedly, which they really don't, but not economic liberty, and the Republicans believe in economic liberty, which they really don't, but not personal liberty. So this new paradigm, liberty for all, and in every way, and the opposite would be totalitarianism, which I think a lot of people recognize the Republicans and Democrats both embrace. And so, I think Barry Goldwater started a movement that became stunted after Reagan was elected, usurped, if you will. But I think this time it's the real deal, and I think it's stronger. And I will, if I die tomorrow, I'm going to rest well tonight, even if I knew I was going to die tomorrow, knowing in my mind that that the revolution has already been won. It's only a matter of time. I really believe that. And now, to what extent, to the nth degree, the revolution has won or will win, I don't know. Because, you know, you never get everything. But I think there is a fundamental movement away from totalitarianism and pro-liberty that's gelling in this country.
But do you see a movement towards a more European-style politics in the United States?
No.
Where as you're pointing out, that today in Greece, the politics, the establishment parties are in the center, and they're being challenged both by the...
In that sense, the
policies of the extreme right, the Golden Dawn in Greece, or whatever they're called.
In that sense, that may be true.
They're similar.
Yeah, in that sense, it may be true. I thought you were referring to more like a more parliamentary social system with social, with the socialistic aspects, and the socialist aspects may make an increase in the short term, but I think in the long term. I think America with the K is headed maybe back towards America with the C, but this time freedom for everyone in every way. That's my hope and that's my dream, and I really think that's going to be the reality. Pete, thanks for your call. I appreciate
it. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. We've got Dan. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Hey, I just wanted to comment. You said that the revolution was started or successful or... I forgot what your exact word was, but I will consider the revolution successful when somebody, and I don't particularly care which party it is or which group or independence or whatever, actually take a plurality from the Republicans and Democrats.
That's when the revolution will come to fruition. I wouldn't disagree with that.
Right. And until that happens, I go back to the election a couple of years ago, where you had a governor who is going to jail, and I mean the Democratic Party, everybody makes comments about what a joke it is that it's on the take and it's owned and bought by Madigan and his buddies and that type of thing, but you still have so many people supporting it and voting for it, the same with the Republican Party, and then you have, I think, 80% of the people, had the power to do something about it, and they sat home and did nothing.
I think Illinois is going to be the last state to change.
We're
the last state to even allow concealed carry in this country. We're going to be the last state to, and you're never going to get rid of corruption, of course. You're not going to get rid of it. But I do think the philosophy of freedom, has taken hold to such an extent now that, when somebody studied this social experiment, if 10% of people agree to a good idea, it's just a matter of time before, right. Before well, it happens.
I've got an idea I shot out to somebody else. I just thought it was interesting. Talk about your complete libertarian election cycle. What if we were to take any elected office that is up for, you know, quote, election? And instead of having elections, anyone who's interested in serving in that seat, who would be paid, let's say, the average worker's salary of that particular area, everybody puts their name in a hat, and whoever is drawn, you know, that would be interested in serving that position, and it would be a one term or maybe two terms, whatever, and then a name is drawn out of the hat, and that person would be that new official.
As one who's a small O objectivist, Randian type, I would definitely disagree with that. I wouldn't want to hand any power to a politician by a matter of chance. I think there should be a rational process. I'm not saying the process we have now is rational, but I think there should be a rational process to if we give anybody any kind of power at all. It should be a rational
process. I
figured
that, you know, if we were going to have, quote, a citizen government, what better way of doing it than allowing the citizens the chance to do it?
It's a thought. Dan, thanks for your call. Got to move.
And you guys have a good one.
All righty. We'll be back after a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we're back, and no time left. It was fun today. I do enjoy open lines. So let's go to the quotation of the week. This is from Friedrich Nietzsche. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed.